one of the busiest guys in the airshow business. A few minutes with Rennie Price. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. At the recent Arlington Regional Fly-In, I got the chance to corner airshow performer Rennie Price for a few minutes. I had to start by mentioning to Rennie that a few years ago, when he was still working as an airline pilot, I was trying to schedule an interview with him and went to his website to look for possible holes in his performance schedule. Not only weren't there any days unaccounted for, but on at least one summer day, he was scheduled to perform at two air shows in different West Coast cities on the same day. How is that even possible?
Well, some days, you know, it looks good on paper. You think, well, what the heck, I could do it. But it's a bit of a challenge sometimes, and it happens. You'll be flying in Oregon, and you'll get finished with that one, and you end up leaving Oregon, for example, fly to Boundary Bay, British Columbia, to be ready to fly an air show the next day. Sometimes it happens where there's a couple of air shows that are fairly close to each other, and you can do it, but that is really the exception. But it happens.
Tell me about your life in aviation these days in general. You're also a commercial airline pilot.
I was a commercial airline pilot. I flew for what was America West. I was from 1998 until 2006. And I just wore out a little bit. I mean, I enjoyed it. I love the flying, but I live in Portland. My base was Phoenix, Arizona. And I decided I just wanted to come home, spend a little bit more time doing this kind of work. So luckily for me, a friend of mine, I wanted to buy a corporate jet. They needed a pilot. So my timing was great. And as it turns out, it was really great because so much has changed even in the last two or three years. It was a job I love very, very much. I still miss the camaraderie of being in a large group of pilots. And you may not know, America West was a very good airline. They went some 25 years now with any kind of an accident. So it was a great group of guys, and I miss them a lot. But on the other hand, it's nice not having to go to Phoenix every Monday and come home every Thursday night. So,
now, did I understand correctly a couple of years ago that you were also occasionally being called on to be an air boss?
I was an air boss last weekend in North Bend, Coos Bay. Sometimes what happens is a new show will start, and oftentimes the performers are very familiar with how an air show operates. So they'll, you know, do a little double duty. It's not the best thing in the world. You know, an air boss should be an air boss, but here I did it again, and I'm admitting it publicly. You know, at some of the smaller venues, it's possible to do. So, yeah, I do occasionally do air boss duties, and I used to be a contest director, which was a lot of fun. That was where you had 25, 30 guys coming in, you know, to fly aerobatics and competition for the weekend, and I really, really enjoyed that because then, you're kind of a host, you're kind of a your job is really, it's not a safety, but make sure everybody has a good time, and it's fun, and I do enjoy that. And it's the same, it's kind of the same with an air boss. It's not a big deal.
Tell us about your Sukhoi. What do you like about the plane? What made you choose it, and how did you get hold of it?
Well, I was flying a Pitts Special, is what I think, you know, just about everybody started with. And I decided I wanted to go to the monoplane, and I wanted to get a high-performance one, and there were tons of airplanes out there, you know, the extras and that. But those airplanes, even when I bought this airplane, you know, they were getting up there above 200,000, 250, you know, those kind of things. And I looked at Sukhois, and God, you could buy one for $165,000, and they had equal to, if not better, performance. So I was looking for a 26. There was a particular one that was based right here that I wanted, but it had been promised to a friend of mine. He took it, so I went and found a 29, which happens to be this particular airplane, and decided it was right for me because it allowed me to use the Russians in the airplane to coach me as opposed to having the Russians on the ground telling you do this, do that. You know, with them in the airplane, it's a lot different where they can actually show you to put the stick, you know, do various things. So it turned out to be a much better airplane for me, and I made a few modifications to the airplane. We put the wheel pants on it and some things like that, and eventually changed the paint so to give the airplane just a little bit different look. And to me, the airplane always looked like kind of a Focke-Wulf, or you know, maybe you know, something from the 30s, you know, a racer. And I borrowed the GB paint scheme, and we picked the color Perfect Purple by just going that one, and that's what we did. And it's just turned out to be a terrific airplane. And from the time I bought it in 1998 to today, it actually it doubled in value, so it was good that way. They've obviously come down a little bit because of the way the economy is right now, but the beauty is they're not going to build any more of them. And so, you know, it's just turned out for me to be a terrific airplane. And that engine in it, you know, they've built more of that particular motor than any other engine in the world. So it's relatively to get easy, to get parts for. And I just can't say enough good things about it.
Let's go back further in your career and tell us how you got involved in flying aerobatics. Was it a release from the somewhat mundane? I've had a lot of airline pilots tell me that they look forward to their time off to go get their hands on a real stick and rudder.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, because airline flying, you know, today, the last airplane I flew was an Airbus, and that airplane was designed around the autopilot. You know, it was a fly-by-wire airplane, and you literally, as soon as you got it in here, you coupled the autopilot. In fact, I can remember a couple of cases where we turned the autopilot off, turned the flight director off, and I thought the FO was going to jump out of the airplane. He said, well, you can't do that. This is an airplane. You know, we aren't allowed to fly them. You know, but airline flying's great, but it's very regimented, it's very standardized, and it's all very good. I mean, we also do that, you know, in this kind of flying, but it's just a little bit different. My interest in aerobatics stemmed from when I was a kid, from when I first started flying. I always enjoyed, you know, the loops and the roll and the spinning portion of it, but, you know, in airline flying, corporate flying, you know, there's just nothing you can do it and you don't do it. And you're right. For me, it was a release. I got back to it, and it was like flying airplanes again. And it started in competition, and you know, I had a little success, a little luck there. And then you know, somebody said, "Well, would you come fly at an air show and show us what IAC stuff looks like?" And that's really how I ended up in air shows, almost by accident. The competition side of aerobatics, they call, you know, the air show side of it, they call it the dark side. And, you know, it was kind of like, yeah, well, the dark side's very attractive because it's very, very fun. You know, in competition, we're right on the other side of the IAC tent. But in competition aerobatics, you know, everything is very rigid. And, you know, everybody, you know, your lines have to be perfect and all that. In an air show, you can loosen up and, you know, fly the airplane a little different. So it's a little bit different style of flying. But where I'm going with all this is, when you fly in a competition, there are five judges on the ground, and their job is to tell you how lousy you flew. And you pay to be there. You pay for your hotel, pay for your fuel, and, you know, everything. When you come to an air show, they give you a nice hotel room. There's plenty of water to drink. They give you lunch. And when you get all done at the end of the day, they tell you how good you flew, even if you didn't. And then they give you a check. You know, it was kind of like, yeah, the dark side's not so bad. So
I was going to say, that sounds like a very difficult decision.
Yes. Yeah, it took about a nanosecond, I would guess.
Well, how far back did you start flying aerobatics in competition?
1994, so not that far back. I mean, it doesn't seem like that far back. I guess it's starting to get that way a little bit. But I think it was 94, 95, right in there.
In a moment, more with Rennie Price from Arlington. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the AeroNews special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with airshow performer Rennie Price. In the 15 or so years that Rennie's been performing, what has changed at airshows?
Well, the airplanes keep getting better and better. And you know, some of these new airplanes like the MX-2s. I mean, this was a state-of-the-art a few years back. I mean, the Sukhois still to this day are winning, you know, at the world level. But these new airplanes coming out, these super monoplanes, I was talking to Steve Wolf himself today, who is building a new airplane for Sean Tucker, which is going to be another super monoplane. And we talked about the MX-2, but both of these airplanes that he was talking about will go from the surface. They're pulling out almost 3,000 feet on the vertical, which means they have a tremendous amount of energy going up. So, you know, we're getting all these snappy stuff and all these cool things we can do on the way up. But with the energy that they're going to have these days, I mean, they'll just be inventing more, you know, and better new maneuvers. But, you know, overall, I don't know that, you know, it's changed a lot. It's only been like 14 years or so for me, or maybe a little less than that, actually. So I haven't seen, you know, big changes that way.
You've had a model here that you've used to kind of as kind of a prop in our conversation a couple of times. Tell us about this plane. It looks amazingly like yours.
Yeah, it does. And what's neat about this airplane is there's two fellows right here, and these are the guys that made this airplane. It's a father and a son, and they come to a lot of the air shows. And what they do is they build these models, and they bring them to the guys, and we sign them, and they've collected them. And they've brought some pictures and showed us. Well, this year they changed it a little bit. They brought the models and actually presented them to us. And I guess one of the questions, what the people say, why don't you fly air shows? And my real answer is, I don't have a definitive answer, but I think this is probably it. You know, I don't know if it's if we're trying to be ambassadors, you know, and try to promote aviation. There's that portion of it. It's a lot of fun. There's certainly that part of it, showing off a little bit, I suppose. You know, it's all mingled in there. But when these guys came up and presented this airplane to me the other day and said, "Look, we made this for you," this is, I think, the reason why I enjoy air shows so much. I mean, they build this model because they love airplanes. They absolutely love them. It's not the pilot. It's the plane itself. It's the idea of what this represents. And it's phenomenal to me that anybody could create art like this, but then walk up and just hand it to you and say, "This is yours." I mean, this is one of the most wonderful things that's ever been presented to me in my life. I just don't understand how people can be so amazing. And I think that's why I do this. And I got to add one more little thing to this. This also happened yesterday. Somebody walked up to the airplane and they said, "We love that purple." So this nice lady walks up to me yesterday. She doesn't identify herself. She just says, "I have something for you, for somebody." So she hands me these, some purple sunglasses. And I would have loved to warn them today, except these have prescriptions in them and these don't. So it wouldn't work. But the point I'm trying to make is these people, they just absolutely love airplanes. And, you know, if you can turn a kid on like that and get them interested in airplanes, then it's all worth it to me.
Find out more about Rennie Price and his Sukhoi 29 at www.hammerheadaerobatics.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us online at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.